Among Chuck Swindoll's favorite subjects is the one we'll address today, the Grace Awakening.
Oh, I'm convinced I can never say too much about grace. I can never visit that subject too often. I realized a long time ago I can never wear it out or exhaust the depth of the riches of its wisdom. But, my friend, believing in God's grace is one thing. Living it is another.
And learning to embrace grace is our current theme on Insight for Living. If you're ready to take your understanding to a whole new level, simply go online and check out the creative resources prepared on your behalf.
Don't you think it's time for an awakening in your life? I long for you to discover the liberties and the freedom that come with grace as never before.
The Grace Awakening from Chuck Swindoll. Resources for digging deeper on your own are easily accessed at our website. Books, CDs, devotionals from Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living.
Grace, God's amazing grace.
To take advantage of these resources, go to insightworld.org. The word grace is frequently used in Christian circles. We receive God's grace at salvation, and we benefit from grace daily as we receive His forgiveness. But there's another application, and it's our subject today on Insight for Living. If you were along last week, you know Chuck pointed out that grace is not only something we receive vertically from a loving God, but grace is something we extend horizontally to those around us. During the next half hour, Chuck talks about the grace to let others be. We're picking up right where we left off on Friday in Romans 14, beginning at verse 1.
Accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinion. One person has faith that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. The one who eats is not to regard with contempt the one who doesn't eat. Okay? Those who are strong are not to look down their noses and think, how contemptible an individual is this? Get with it. Grow up. You're not to look with contempt on those who don't eat the meat. And the one who does not eat is not to judge the one who eats. The two reactions are contempt and judgment. For God has accepted him. He's accepted both. Look at verse 4. Who are you to judge the servant of another? To his own master he stands or falls, and he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. All right, guideline number 1. Accepting others is basic to letting them be. Do not miss that important principle. Accepting others is basic to letting them be. The key is the word accept. The young in the faith are asking, how could you eat that? And the older in the faith are saying, why wouldn't you eat that? Two reactions, one contempt, one judging. Oh my, the list goes on and on. It's not meat nowadays, it's other things. Going to the movies or attending live theater, wearing cosmetics or not wearing them, playing cards, watching TV, attending certain movies, going to the beach on Sundays, if we had a beach, not having a quiet time every morning or at least every day, going to a restaurant that sells liquor, wearing certain clothing, driving certain cars, owning certain homes or more than one home, wearing certain jewelry, listening to certain music, dancing, square room, ballroom, disco, whatever, holding a certain job, wearing your hair a certain way, assuming you have hair, having lovely and elegant possessions, getting a facelift, or drinking coffee or some other beverage, attending a certain denominational church, eating certain foods, riding a Harley at that age, all kinds of. One group wrote this, believe as I believe, no more, no less, that I am right, and no one else. Confess. Feel as I feel, think only as I think, eat what I eat and drink but what I drink. Look as I look, do always as I do, then and only then I'll fellowship with you. I read about a pastor's conference several years ago. It was held in Germany. A group of Germans met for a conference. And part of the refreshments were mugs of beer. Some guy lit up a cigar. The place went up in smoke. I mean, you could have beer, but smoking is not allowed. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that strange? I got a friend who, when he was in youth work years ago, showed the youth, this is years ago, of a film, a missionary film. The board called him in and wanted to know what he'd been doing. He said, well, we saw a movie last night on missionary film. They said, you know, we don't do that here at this church. We don't show movies. Why not? He says, we see slides all the time. Oh, if it's still, fine. If it moves. Sin. Oh. You know why it's funny to you? Because that's not one of your taboos. See what I'm saying? All I got to do is land on yours, and you won't think it's funny, and you think I shouldn't say that. Because it's never addressed in the scriptures. Oh, you've jammed it in. You've taken a half a verse and made it say what it doesn't say. Some jokester says about three churches, as he's standing on an intersection, one congregation could be heard singing, will there be any stars in my crown? The other church across the street was singing, no, not one. And the third church was singing, oh, that will be glory for me. Oh, brother. Please. So they got a bunch of tattoos on. Just be glad you don't. Okay? So they got earrings where you wouldn't think of putting one. You're going to let earrings get in the way? Come on. One of you is enough. One of me is sometimes more than enough. Come on. Don't look at yourself and think, why doesn't he? Because he's not you, thank God. He's him. You don't know the background. He might have been drunk one night and got 9 tattoos. You know, he didn't even remember getting all the tattoos. And he may hate them. Then again, he may like them. I buy food at a certain grocery store where one of the checkers has a couple of things in his tongue, like this. And I said, does that hurt? He said, no. And I've had more fun with this guy. We have had more. I look for him and I go. I said, you like him? Oh, I love him. I know a time in my life when I wouldn't get near that check stand. I wouldn't get near that guy. What's the matter with him? The real question is, what's the matter with me? Accepting others is basic to letting them be. Start there. Boy, it's a good message for the church. The church of Christ needs to hear this message. Verse 5. One person regards one day above another, and you and I know people like that. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. Don't miss that. His own mind. Not your mind. His own mind. He who observes the day observes it for the Lord. He who eats does so for the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. He who does not eat, it's for the Lord he doesn't eat. He gives thanks to God. Notice to whom he answers. To God. Not one of us lives for himself. Not one of us dies for himself. If we live for the Lord. If we die, we die for the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the L-O-R-D-S. We're his. Guideline number 2. Releasing others allows the Lord to dictate the details of their lives. Releasing others allows the Lord to dictate the details of their lives. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind, verse 5 says. My advice to you who believe you have the gift of knowing God's will for someone else's life is that you back off, lighten up, save your breath. Stop trying to make the other person's mind up. Don't attempt to manipulate him. Quit judging him. Well, you have every right not to agree. Of course you do. That's your right. But please put an end to playing king of the mountain. It's not a fun game in the family. There's enough. We have enough kings in Christ. That's where kings stop. Don't assume that your opinion is the correct one. We get really tight in details of specifics of theology that nobody's ever figured out. A group of theologians was discussing predestination and free will. The argument became heated. The dissidents split into two groups. One man was unable to make up his mind which group he ought to join, so he slipped into the predestination crowd. Challenged as to why he was there, he said, "I came of my own free will." They said, "Free will? Get out. You can't join us." So he retreated to the opposing group and met the same challenge. "I was sent here," he answered honestly. "Get out. You can't join us unless you come of your own free will." Isn't it silly? Isn't it crazy? How in the world did we get in this mess? By getting our eyes off Christ and getting them on ourselves and others. Stop that. Quit going there. It's a bad idea. It always leads down a wrong path. Verse 9. "To this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. Why, you there, why do you judge your brother?" Now that's to the weaker. You know, you who haven't grown up, why do you judge the one who has grown? Why do you feel the need to get him in your camp? You know, or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? That's to the older brother who looks down on the one who can't see things as freely as he does. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. It's written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me." Emphasis on the last word, me, to me. "Every tongue should give praise to God. Each one of us must give an account of himself to God." Now, this is a very important guideline. Freeing others means we never assume a role we're not qualified to fill. Freeing others means we never assume a role we're not qualified to fill. Now, why aren't we qualified to fill it? Why aren't we qualified to judge some other brother's conclusions or motives? First of all, we don't have all the facts. Second, we're unable to know the true motive. Listen to me. You're unable to know the motive of another individual. Don't think you know it. You think you know it. You don't know it. You're finite. You don't know the big picture. You don't know the whole background. You don't know the whole story. Only Christ knows that. Furthermore, you yourself are inconsistent and imperfect. If we looked at you long enough, we'd find 10 things right away that are wrong, that you keep doing. So you're not qualified. Grace flows freer when we let God be God and we leave the striving to Him. Let me tell you something else. When you decide you're going to make a decision for someone else, you will fail to make the right decision because you'll see it from your perspective. Example, couple had been debating about buying a vehicle. It went on for weeks. He wanted a pickup. She wanted a little sports-like car so she could zip through traffic all around town. He would have settled for any year pickup. But everything she seemed to like was way out of their price range, in his opinion. "Look," she said, "I want something that goes from 0 to 200 in just seconds. Nothing else will do. My birthday is coming soon. Surprise me." So he did. Bought her a brand new bathroom scale. Nobody has seen or heard from him since. You do it from your own perspective. Any guy's tempted to do that, see me afterwards, because a guy that's made bad mistakes all his life, I could give you a little counsel on not going there. I'll tell you, you know what else? You and I got a full-time job keeping up with the person we look at in the mirror. I don't care how good you are. I don't care how holy you come across. You got a full-time job just taking care of you. There's one more, and this is one that kind of grates on those that are growing and learning and really embracing grace. Begins at verse 13. I want you to hear this with the same vigor you've listened to the others. Verse 13. "Let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this. not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Keep listening. I know and I'm convinced in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself. There's nothing wrong with that piece of meat. There's nothing in that idol. It's an empty piece of wood or metal or stone or glass. Nothing in itself I consider unclean. But to him who thinks it's unclean, to him it is. Some aren't there yet. If because of food your brother is hurt, you're no longer walking according to love. Don't destroy with your food him for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Here's the guideline. Loving others requires us to express our liberty wisely. Loving others requires us to express our liberty wisely. It's very important that you remember there are weaker brothers. I'm not talking about legalists. Legalists are professional weaker brothers. They play that role, but they're tough as a boot, mean as a junkyard dog. Legalists know exactly where they stand. They just don't like what you're doing because it's not what they're doing. This is not the weaker brother. There are people who are really offended when we do certain things out in public that we ought not be doing. So you feel you have freedom to drink a certain beverage. Be careful where you do that. Do it in your home. Do it with people who are like-minded, so it's not offensive. But it's unwise to flaunt your liberty. We reared four children, and our oldest is a son, Chuck's brother, Kurt. As Kurt got to the age where he no longer had to take a nap, remember, when you rear your children, they reach that age, and the other three had to take a nap. And I said, Kurt, psst, come here. Tell you what, buddy. You don't have to take a nap anymore. Oh, really? Oh, that's great. It's like not taking a nap is like freeing, you know. So I said, you don't have to take, but I'll tell you what. I don't want you to walk by their bedroom with their door closed and go, nah, 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 you little babies, you got to take a nap. And I don't have to nap. You do that, you're going to nap till you're 20. Okay? So I said, okay, Daddy. Okay. What was I saying? Don't flaunt your liberty. So you don't have to nap. So you're not limiting. Like you used to be. Others still are. They're not there yet. And love says, I care about them too much to just rub their nose in my freedom. The church needs this message really badly. You and I need it. We really do. Three practical actions to take to carry this out. One has to do with refocusing. One has to do with something to remember. And the third has to do with something to refuse. First, refocus. Refocus on things that encourage harmony and peace. Refocus your life on things that encourage harmony and peace. Remember, love rules. Will this really build up the body of Christ? Is this good? Is this best? Focus on things that encourage harmony and peace. Remember, sabotaging saints hurts God's work. Remember that. When you undercut God's saints, you hurt his work. You may get your way, but you hurt his work. Remember, sabotaging saints hurts God's work. See how he says it in verse 20? Don't tear down the work of God for the sake of food. All things indeed are clean, but they are evil for the one who eats and gives offense. It's not good to eat meat or drink wine or do anything by which your brother stumbles. Number three. Refuse to play God in anyone else's life. I wish someone had told me that very early in my ministry. Because I thought being called to ministry meant I was in charge of you. And I spent my time worrying over what you did with what I preached. And I realized later some never really even heard me, much less carried it out. And they answer to the Lord. My job is to tell you. My job is to live it. My job is to admit it when I don't. My job is to communicate clearly and accurately and practically and then to leave the work to each one of us. So you're on your own. You're going to grow or you're going to make a mess or you're going to help others or you're going to tear others down. And you got the consequences to face. And I don't have to answer for that. And I will not worry about it. So I'm saying, let go. Let folks go. Remember, I read this anonymous piece some time back. To let go doesn't mean to stop caring. It means I can't do it for someone else. To let go is not to cut myself off. It's the realization I can't control another. To let go is not to enable, but to allow learning from natural consequences. To let go is to admit powerlessness, which means the outcome isn't in my hands. To let go is not to try to change or blame another. I can only change myself. To let go is not to care for, but to care about. To let go is not to fix, but to be supportive. It's not to judge, but to allow another human being to be herself or himself. To let go is not to be in the middle arranging all the outcome, but to allow others to affect their own outcome before God. To let go is not to be protective. It is to permit another to face reality. It's to not to deny, but to accept. It is not to regret the past, but to grow and live for the future. To let go is to fear less and love more. I want all of you to know, everything I've said today has been said by a shepherd who cares about the sheep. I'm an under-shepherd under the one to whom we will all stand before. And I want you to know, I believe you want to live like this. But for some, it's a big struggle. By God's grace, year by year, we'll get closer and closer to the goal. Till we're finally with him. Then we shall be what we would be. Then we shall be what we should be. Things that are not now nor could be, soon shall be our own. And we'll be with him, no competition. And he'll be in control. How good is that? Now my heart breaks for a few of you who don't know Christ. Because you're going to try to do all this grace stuff and you just won't have the power to pull it off. And you're going to be frustrated, so let me keep you from the frustration by telling you that unless you know the Lord Jesus in a personal way, you won't be enabled to carry it out. Don't forget I said that. It's a very important fact. Let's bow our heads together. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin left a crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. We care for whales up there near Alaska, but Jesus cared for souls like yours and mine and those around you. And he died with no one around to help. He died all alone as he paid the price in full for your sins because he wants to be close to you. He wants to help you live free of addictions and complications and repeated consequences. But if you don't come to him, he won't barge in. He waits for you to invite him. Invite him. Then connect with us. We'll help you grow. Thank you, Father, for your care, which is enormous and constant and consistent. Thank you for your love, which is totally free of prejudice and preferential treatment. Thank you for your kindness, which always disarms us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for leaving the angelic throne room and coming to an ugly, filthy cross to die for our sins. Thank you for stooping to people like us. Otherwise, we'd never know you. Now we do, because of Jesus. In his name we pray. Everybody said, amen.
The Grace to Let Others Be. That's the title of today's message from Chuck Swindoll, and you're listening to Insight for Living. With the conclusion of this message, it's a fitting time to remind you that you can hear any of Chuck's sermons in their entirety by purchasing the CDs for this series or by downloading the audio files from our website. The Grace Awakening series contains 15 full-length messages and includes a special bonus CD as well. You'll find these exclusive resources and more at insightworld.org. You might be listening to Chuck teach on grace today with a broken heart. Maybe you've been on the receiving end of a crushing emotional blow or criticism from a grace killer. Well, Chuck has written a booklet that contains biblical principles that'll help you. It's called Hope, Expect Great Things from God. And if you've never contacted Insight for Living, we'd like to send you a free copy. This special offer can't be accessed online, so you'll need to give us a phone call. Just mention you'd like to receive the free booklet on hope. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. When we're recovering from disappointment, it's not only hope that we need, but also grace. And that's the theme of a brand new devotional guide called Glimpses of Grace. When you give a donation of any amount, you're invited to request a copy. You'll love reading the 30 individual sketches in the Old Testament that reflect colorful portraits of God's amazing grace. Not a day passes at Insight for Living without hearing from someone who has come to understand God's grace for the very first time as a result of hearing clear Bible teaching on this program. Well, in that spirit, we deeply appreciate your financial support. Again, when you give, request the spiral-bound devotional guide, Glimpses of Grace. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or online go to insight.org. Tuesday's subject, the grace to disagree and press on. From Chuck Swindoll and Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Grace to Let Others Be, was copyrighted in 2005, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2013 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.